Three, two, one. Happy New Year.
Oh, no, that was Eastern time.
Oh, God. Okay. We'll wait an hour.
The Stranger Still.
No, we're making him wait.
Oh.
No, fine, Stranger Still.
Is this real? Okay.
Welcome to Stranger Still. It's a podcast.
Excuse me. It's a podcast.
I was trying to do
where we answer. I'm back. And what? I'm going to answer the questions you never thought about asking about the last 10 years, Nicholas Wood.
You know, we've grown so much over the last 10 years. We are
You're not making a big enough deal that I'm back.
I was getting there, buddy. Okay. I was about to say.
Okay, say something nice. Go on.
We've matured so much over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
We're no longer those fools that just shout through the intro of this show.
Right.
And now that you're back, I think that it's finally time that we have showed our mature side of this show. As we look back on...
That goes down smooth, Nick.
10 years of...
Right.
Of things.
Yeah, memes.
I didn't know where I was going with that.
Tech flops.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was nice enough. I think the listeners will... feel a little more giddy in their
a little more titillated.
Sure.
I played a
Watch
whole song and everything.
Okay.
For the new year. You're back in the new year.
Yeah. I'm unconcussed for the most part. I'm not saying this is Strish still instead. I did that for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When I got hit by a car.
You got hit by a cur.
Yeah.
I didn't say much about what happened because I didn't know how much you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. No, I got a lawyer. It's
great. We can talk about it on the bonus episode.
We can talk about
all
we want.
So, welcome back. The balls have dropped and we are here in 2020.
Wow. Really, really digging into that mature word you mentioned.
Yeah. The balls fell down a long shaft.
That's weird. I don't get that, but okay, I will accept
it. They had
it.
To go up and then they fall.
Sure.
It's the scaffolding.
Yeah, this. Have you ever been to New York? Seen the ball drop?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm lying.
New Year's Rockin' Eve? Yeah.
Oh, we brought in Ryan Seacrest. We forgot to tell everybody. That's our secret guest this week.
Okay, good.
Come in here, Ryan. He waved at us. All right, see you later.
Okay.
Can we start the episode now?
But yeah, the jokes are still solid, I see. You've been keeping up the maintenance.
Yeah, that's Shelby's job. I mean, John's job. I mean, welcome back.
Thanks. So what are we talking about today, Nick?
Well, this is your idea. We are in our newfound maturity.
Mm-hmm.
We have decided...
That's right. I'm still capable of having ideas. Take that, Cadillac Escalade. Hit me in the...
Despite his best efforts, John can still think sometimes. So you decided that we should have a top five, top five.
Yep.
So we got top five, top five.
For the top 10 years of the past 10 years.
Yes. Top 10 years, go.
2001. 2002.
2003. 2004,
etc.
You can fill in the rest. We're off the rails.
Yep, just
that's
like
all I have to say. So yeah, we've got five things. Mm-hmm. We've decided definitively the top five in those five things. And we're just going to walk through them today. Of these crazy things from the last 10 years, we've got conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
We've got...
memes.
We've got alternative medicines. We've got...
technical flops.
And we've got technical advances.
I think that's a good order.
Let's go in that order. Yeah. All right. Let's kick things off with the definitive top five conspiracy theories of the last decade.
Right.
Starting, of course, with false flag operations. Who doesn't love a good false flag operation?
Oh, boy, howdy.
So, for those
lordy.
Do you know what a false flag operation is, John?
I've heard Mr. Jones talk about it.
your favorite Mr. Jones?
Oh, boy, don't even joke about that joke. He would be a good, we did have a list originally we were trying to pick from the, uh-huh. for the top five that you sent. Where did you get that list? Did you just make those
up? I
made
it up.
Okay. Because he would have been a good failure of humanity if we chose that.
Yeah. That's our bonus episode. So, false flag operations, for those that don't know, are this conspiracy theory that the government sends like militants into an area or undercover terrorists that are actually working for the U.S. government to incite violence to push their agenda. And apparently these have been around since the 1930s. There's been claims that like Pearl Harbor was a false flag operation to push us into World War II. Of course, the Oklahoma City bombing was claimed to be a false flag operation. But in the last 10 years, thanks to wonderful people like Alex Jones, we've had a lot more to choose from. Such as in 2012, we had the Aurora shooting at the Batman Dark Knight premiere. We also had the Sandy Hook incident in 2012. 2013, there was the Boston Marathon bombing. Just last year, we had the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. And back, I remember, like, back in 2012 and 2013, people were like, Obama and Hillary Clinton are... That's so fucking insane.
Okay.
Obama and Hillary Clinton, I guess, arranged these events to happen to push their gun control agenda.
Oh, my goodness.
And
those meetings they must have had.
Yeah, like, Alex Jones famously got horribly sued for the slanderous things he said about Sandy Hook victims and their parents and like the abuse those parents get and how much they've had to move around because of the things that he has said by himself that has led other people to it. I love false flag operations because it assumes that anyone in our government is capable of coordinating anything.
Yeah, geez. I mean, so here's where I have that little asterisk in the bottom of this.
Yeah.
That the times that we did do really messed up stuff.
We've talked about those. Yeah,
like the coups. I mean, stuff we've done in like Brazil and over bananas.
Like the Contra. Oh, yep. God. That wasn't even the government. That was like...
CIA.
Was that CIA? Mm-hmm. I thought it was some advertising dude.
Well, we did some messed up stuff in Chile, Bolivia, Uruguay.
Yeah. But have we ever done them on our own soil?
I think we like to go keep it outside the house, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't eat where you poop.
Yeah, don't pee in your cereal and call it and tell me it's raining, you know?
Is that how that goes?
Don't pee in my
fruit. Just pee on my head.
Don't pee in my cereal and tell me
and tell
raining.
Me it's Cheerios.
Right.
So the next one I have is, it kind of dovetails into this, which is just the deep state in general. You know the deep state. You love the deep state. Another Alex Jones favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is similar, but it's kind of the idea that there's like a secret government.
That's so deep, bro.
It's so deep.
It's so deep.
Yeah.
The government's deep. Like, what if we're just like made of stardust, bro?
It's like, what if other people have the same thoughts that
what
I do?
What if I'm the only person? Everybody else is just a robot.
Yeah.
Thanks, deep state.
Thanks, deep state. All right, next one. No, the deep state is like the idea that there's some shadow government that works behind the scenes to like undermine the real government. So it's similar in that like we can't push gun legislation, so we arrange all these mass shootings to push our gun legislation. But it's usually more like militant, I guess. The term came from the 90s when Turkish militants worked with drug traffickers to start a war on the Kurds, which unfortunately is still going on. They'll do anything to fight the Kurds. It's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
So like when 9/11 happened, people believe that it was the deep state trying to start a war.
Because
like the industrial complex.
Because people can't melt steel beams. But you can. Benzene.
Yeah.
Benzene.
Yeah. But like this really ramped up. Like that wasn't in the last 10 years, but it ramped up in the last 10 years thanks to Fox News. And people like Glenn Beck or Krauthammer.
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones claiming that like Obama was working with the deep state. This
Turning
came up all the time. Yeah. Like we had the claims that the FEMA camps were like secretly concentration camps.
Yeah.
Pizzagate was just in the last 3 years. The most popular one nowadays is Epstein didn't kill himself. Mm-hmm. The deep state did it to hide a pedophilia ring. And here's a frightening stat for you, John.
Okay.
48% of Americans believe there is a deep state.
Hmm.
A deep state government.
How many percentage of Americans are stupid? I don't.
48%.
Okay. I mean, they could. You can believe in the deep state and be intelligent. and wrong, right?
And wrong, I guess. Yeah. I guess it could be.
I was just, those are uncorrelated. I just wanted, I was curious separately. It's just a total unrelated
coincidence
note,
that they're both 48%.
Okay, I'm glad you did the research.
There's a Venn diagram. 35% of Americans believe that it's just a conspiracy theory, and I am one of those.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though. I did get a book from my local library.
Okay, you were called, reading.
Yeah, and this
That's
is
scary.
I know, it is pretty scary. I've been trying to read the comics to kind of wean myself in that you got me.
Yeah.
But I got a... This is true stuff.
Yes.
And it's not deep state, because usually when you have corruption, it's pretty public.
Sorry, I didn't think my Diet Dr. Pepper would make that noise when you were talking.
And it didn't until you mentioned it.
It totally did. You could totally see it on the... Anyway, keep going.
Oh, you look at the monitors? Weird. So anyway, yeah, Dark Money, the hidden history of the billionaires behind the rise of the radical right. It's about the Koch brothers.
Oh, God, you're such a Bernie bro.
Excuse me? This was a Michael Brooks recommendation.
Oh, okay.
Who is a Bernie bro, as am I.
And what did you learn from this book?
Well, I learned that the top 1% of Koch brothers, well, the only remaining Koch brother.
That is one, the top 1%, because he's still alive.
The top 100% of remaining Koch brothers are corrupt. Yeah.
No, duh. I almost said a bad word there.
Whoa.
Speaking of being corrupt, number three.
Dude, I dare you. I dare you say a swear. I dare you. For me, come
Here's
on, I'm back.
Swear. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Global warming.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I just knocked your socks off, didn't I?
Yeah.
So how about the conspiracy theory of global warming?
Is that on your list?
It is on my list. It's not that global warming is a conspiracy theory. It's the conspiracy theories that people believe about global warming.
Well, it's been a good one, everybody. Thanks for subscribing while you did.
So, there's been claims that it's a Chinese hoax to get us, I guess, uselessly spending money on regulation and then, I guess, send jobs over to China. There's also claims that, that Al Gore made it up to...
Sell books?
To sell books and movies, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
I won't spend too much time on this. I think everyone listening to this already knows that
Do people think
climate
that Al Gore,
change is real.
When Al Gore says he made it up, do they think that, like... It was CGI showing the ice caps melting and stuff. Like,
I mean, it kind of. I mean, like, he did use CGI as the problem. Maybe
did
he's
he?
Like, here's what would happen if.
Oh,
if
I thought
such
he showed them melting.
Amount.
Did you see the second one?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh man, the effects are so good. It looks so real.
It looks so real. Here's a stat for you: 69% of Americans believe climate change is real. So that leaves what. 31% of Americans think that climate change is fake and made up, which is way too high.
Well, recommend us to a friend, please.
What?
Did I tell you who I'm trying to get for a climate change episode where we do a full thing? I emailed Bill Nye twice. I won't tell you.
We'll get him on.
Okay.
The planet's burning or whatever. God, the thing's going on in Australia right now. It's terrifying. Have you heard about the brush fires in Australia? People are like, taking pictures and it looks like
hell. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
California too, often.
And 31% of people think that it's made up. Okay. We'll live in Australia for a year.
Don't live there, Nick.
Exactly.
You ever think about that?
No, I didn't. But you know where people do live? America. And there's a transition somewhere.
Okay.
To our fourth... conspiracy theory.
Yes, sir.
Which is that vaccines cause autism. So this is relatively new. Like, we had eradicated measles for the most part, like rubella and all, and what's the last one?
Arugula.
And
rhubarb.
And rhubarb. The MRRR. The MRRR vaccine.
That's when you get married twice and you become Mr.
Mr.
Yeah. More powerful.
Yeah. So, this we talked about this before. It came out of a bunk study in the UK, and unfortunately, people have ran with it. And now they say it's no longer about autism. It's
a bunk study. It's like
they talked about it, man.
Yeah,
he was like,
you set everybody up in bunk beds and they do vaccines all day.
Yeah, and they fell out and bumped their head. I don't know. But now people say it's not about autism. It's about choice.
Wow,
which is the dumbest defense I've ever heard. Because if you have the choice to have a child or let them die at a young age, what would you choose, John?
I don't know. I'm a Bernie bro. I think that I believe in Pete Buttigieg, who wants us to have the choice to
don't
keep our
even
insurance.
Stop it. So in 2011, 26.6 Americans believed that vaccines were harmful, and 20% of Americans questioned or refused to have vaccines given to them or someone under their care.
That's sad. That's like,
that's awful.
We could joke all we want, but that's like heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's not much better. Oh, it is a little bit better. This is globally, though. I couldn't find an American stat. As recent as 2018, 79% of people globally believed that vaccines were safe, and only 7% of people said they weren't safe.
Okay, good.
But that's globally. Like, I have a graph somewhere
that's
I can
millions.
Show you. It's like 70% of, it's not much better than it was in 2011. So.
Okay.
Not great. That's how we get
the thing
measles
that
outbreaks.
Hurts me the most about that is it's a lot of times kids that have to rely on their parents mm-hmm. to take care of them and make those important
yeah.
decisions.
There's,
keep them safe.
There's the trend going on right now of teenagers of legal age secretly going to their, I guess not even legal age, like 14 to 16 year olds, secretly going to a doctor to get vaccinated because they never got vaccinated as a child.
Wow.
Because these kids are unfortunately smarter than their own parents.
Well, was it patreon.com? Was there another thing?
Patreon.com/flying machine.
Yeah, we'll set up a clinic if yeah. we get to our goal of $5,000 a month.
We'll vaccinate you all day.
We'll vaccinate all your kids.
All
even
your kids.
Kids that aren't born yet. We'll reserve them for you.
Yeah. Do you want to take a guess at what my number one conspiracy theory is for the last 10 years? I know it's tough.
This is tough because you already listed vaccines, and I thought that was a good contender for first
place. Yeah, but
place.
What's better than vaccines? Well, what's worse, but better for the list?
boy, howdy.
Flat Earth.
Oh, boy.
Gotta go
Your
with
favorite.
Flat Earth.
Yeah.
It is my favorite. I get so upset
was
about it.
Was that my
it.
Hint? Because I was going to guess that.
What? Yeah.
My hint was Flat Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's what you're going to guess. Well, should have said it faster. So everyone knows Flat Earth. It's really stupid. You told me that you didn't see a curvature
oh, yeah.
out on the horizon.
Did you see my picture I sent you? Holy crap.
Well, I did, but
yeah, I was
want
very,
you to describe it.
So I was very, very tired. And
yeah.
I flew to New York for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But while I was on the plane, I was looking out the window because, first of all, my dream, I have a new goal in life.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go too big of a tangent, but let me
okay.
start.
Yeah.
So when I was a young child, no, I'm kidding, I'm not going that long of a tangent. But I'm up there and I'm looking out the window and I'm like, flying's awesome. This is all awesome.
Yeah.
I love being in airports. I love waiting in line at airports.
I love
being on planes cramped up.
Seen naked by the TSA.
Oh, they pat my booty.
I love it when
it's
they
great.
Take away my civil liberties.
No, I literally love flying and I'm jealous of people that hate flying because it means they get to travel often. And I think they're like just the best.
Yeah.
They're just privileged. Travel privileged.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm on the plane. I'm looking out the window and there's just an end to everything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out in my mind what that
just,
was.
You woke up at 3
was
o'clock in
so
the morning.
I was so tired.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. Oh no, we were wrong.
There's flat. There's the
so
ice wall,
friends. And I was like, oh man. There's the edge.
It was just the ocean, though, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was just water.
Yeah.
But it was mixed with fog so perfectly
yeah.
that it looked like it was the same material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've known for millennia, since ancient Greece, since we figured out trigonometry, that the Earth is round.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to debate it. However, God, do you want to take a stab at how many millennials think the Earth is round?
I don't know.
Percentage? Not like an exact number.
Of young smart folks?
Of millennials, because, okay, let me tell you this. There is a meme going around that 66% of millennials think the only 66% of millennials think the Earth is round.
That's not true. There's no way.
That is not true. What do you think the real number is?
Like 85?
Very close. 82.
Okay.
Which is still concerning.
Yeah.
Because that's 18% of people that think the Earth is flat. It should be 1%, my friend.
Do you know
friend.
That 18% of millennials are on 4chan?
Yeah.
Does see, that correlate?
So in the
I
want to
see that graphic.
In the last 10 years, like I swore to God that this was a joke, and I'm sure it started out as a joke. It's no longer a joke. People believe this.
Yeah, but how do we know if they're just not memeing in the polls? Who's taking these polls?
I assume that it is a respectable... I think I got... Let me see if I got the
Because some people
here.
Are still, you know, hanging in there for...
It's from Scientific American. I think they did the polling themselves.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's so frightening, dude.
Mm-hmm.
People are so stupid. What
okay.
what happened to us?
Yeah, well,
we
a new
have
decade.
Infinite resources available to us. And we're like, the Earth's flat.
We will do this in 2030.
I guess
and
so.
Maybe we could cover that. Do we have too much information? What a clickbait title.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. That's five.
Okay. What
now,
else do you have to say about Flat Earth? I feel like I cut you off.
You really want me to go on a rampage here?
Yeah, please. I love your rampages. So does everybody.
So when it comes to flat Earth, the idea is that you shouldn't trust everything that's told you, which is fine. That being skeptical is, it is safe and it is practical and it is smart to do. We're skeptical, but we're skeptical of things that people claim is like wizardry, like Reiki and Chi and aura photography,
yeah,
and all this dumb stuff that comes out of Harry Potter. These people are skeptical of thousands and thousands of scientists and photographs and video saying, well, they could have just faked that all. But then do all these logical leaps and bounds to make it all make sense. Like the sky is just a projection, and the reason that we can't see the pixels is because it's so high definition that we haven't even been able to reach that ourselves yet. We can't even see these pixels because it's such ultra high definition.
I'm stoked for my Samsung's 20K TV. Yeah.
Also, we're traveling upwards at 19.6 meters per second squared, and we'll never reach the speed of light because of a misquote we took from Albert Einstein that we'll never reach the speed of light. Also, the sun moves on an invisible sky track counter to the moon, and that also affects the seasons. They're on a different cycle.
And the sun's like a little spotlight, right?
Yeah. Why? So you're willing to say, don't trust what people tell you, despite thousands of pieces of evidence, but believe my magical sky track that has a spotlight that shines on parts of the Earth.
Yeah. You know what it comes down to?
Stupid people.
That and...
memes.
And...
oh, I thought I was making a transition for you.
Well, that too, but people want to belong.
That's so very true.
So they find communities that make up garbage and they make themselves believe it. Because then they're on the inside and they know and other people don't.
That's incredibly true. And that's incredibly sad. Frightening. Yeah.
But memes, yeah. You got that right.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into my little top five
number
list?
Number two of our top five.
Yeah, number two.
Yeah.
And then we finished on a strong note here. But this is a little tough to research because it's pretty arbitrary.
It is.
But I tried to go on... everything has an important cultural impact that has a, like, it kind of defines, like, you'll see.
Yeah,
you'll see.
Yeah.
So I didn't have these in a perfect order, but I just went for...
make it up now.
what I thought made the most sense. So I started with top five with some deep fried memes.
Okay.
Started out with a nice, like, heavy comfort food of a meme.
Yeah.
And the reason I picked deep fried memes, which, do you know what they are?
Yeah, they're relatively new. It's where they... like, I don't even know how to describe it. They take a normal meme and just, like, decompress the hell out of it and make it disgusting. And it's
make
usually
the eyes
like,
glow and make them red.
It's always, like, some totally mundane thing. Like, that face when you stub your toe and it's, like, SpongeBob with glowing red eyes and he's, like,
horrible quality.
Down. Yeah.
So here's why I added on the list and here's why I thought it was so important is it makes me think, I don't think, they were obviously not the original memes. The original were the, like... head in the middle, top text, bottom text, impact font, right? Didn't even include that on the list. Yeah. We get it.
Well, but that wasn't in the last 10 years. So.
This was deep fried memes, and I actually didn't know about this till I started my research, they were organically deep fried. It was people that didn't know anything about editing.
Yeah.
So they would just screenshot and edit and screenshot and edit over and over and over and over, and over
just
until it naturally looked
so
that
bad.
Disgusting and corrupted. And now it's an intentional thing. So to me, it kind of proved how meta memes can get, because it originated from people not knowing how to like do any photo editing on themselves.
And now there's like people itching for this stuff.
Yeah. So I have a little quote. I think this is from BuzzFeed. That was, at first, this deep frying process was largely genuine. Kids were refiltering and remixing each other's images.
Yeah.
But as the phenomenon grew more known, a second wave of ironically deep fried memes started to appear. So,
That's a good one.
It's a fairly silly thing on the surface, but also speaks to the innate desire for people to share stuff online.
Yeah. They'll do whatever it takes just to get you. So here's what I love.
Okay.
And maybe I should save this for the end, but there's always that meme that pops up on Reddit every once in a while, is that for every bad meme and every good meme, there's someone on the other end just trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And that's like the epitome of that. Like some little 12-year-old like, I gotta show this to my friends. Let me open up Paint, hit the print screen button, save it as a bitmap, and
gouge and blur their eyeballs with red. Yeah. So good. It's good stuff. I thought that was a good, nice little appetizer.
Yeah.
you know? Mm-hmm. And then I moved on a little bit to something that's a little bit older, possibly.
Okay. Is it in the last 10 years?
It is in the last 10 years. Okay. All of these are. This is from 2011 when this phenomenon started.
Rickroll.
No.
Baby Yoda.
Now, you gotta... Well, yeah, he did become a meme pretty quick. He's the most recent big phenomenon.
He's the best. Keep going.
Yeah. But this was planking, Nicholas.
Oh, God. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And this was actually at a time when photos on cameras, like camera phones, were new.
Yeah.
So people were trying to figure out, well, what can we start to create with this?
Well, it's like Twitter was really new around that time too. So yeah, around that time.
When did the first iPhone come out?
2008.
Yeah, so a couple years later, planking came out.
Yeah. Like this kind of phenomenon has been around for a long time. Like when cameras became commercially available, they were doing flagpole sitting. Mm-hmm. You ever hear of that? Mm-hmm. They'd climb up to the top of flagpoles and just sit there and then take a picture of themselves. Like, people are...
My name is Sean, my name is Tom Brown, we're looking in the mirror.
Yeah. That's a good song.
I like the song.
Hey, we agree on a song for once.
Wow. Well, you like Bare Naked Ladies and no one else does, so...
It's been.
Yeah, great.
So, like, the human condition is just, anytime we can take a picture of ourselves, we'll put our lives in danger to do it.
Sure. Especially if it's face down in a planking mode.
Yeah.
That was
a good one.
That was a good one for
planking.
Me.
That started a lot of things, too, because then we also got, like, a lot of derivatives out of that. Like, the ones where you, like, stand still. What the hell are those called? You have to stand still and the camera moves around. Like,
oh, yeah. That would have been a good one to tie with this on this list.
Yeah, there's a lot of those that just are, like...
Where it's, like, freeze frame and then it plays that specific song that... I think the guy that made that song created that. It's, like, a rapper that took that meme.
Maybe. I don't know. Keep going. What do you got?
Yeah. Then I got the American Chopper yelling.
The American Chopper yelling?
Yep. Two guys from American Chopper yelling at each other and pointing fingers and throwing the chair.
Okay.
So the reason I threw this in there was because it's a good representation of how trivial and stupid all the arguments are on the internet in general.
Yeah.
And it's like a literal representation of like absurdism with all the stuff. And then again, I had another really cool quote in here that I found from an article. I think this is BuzzFeed again. Part of the joy of the meme was seeing macho men argue about anime, but also acknowledging that a lot of our online is the overtop screaming arguments about trivial things.
Yeah.
So
I love the ones that are anti-memes where they are just like, here's a chair, thank you!
Yeah, yeah.
Those are really good.
Or they just have stats about climate change. And like, that's impressive!
Yeah, really positive messaging.
Yeah, those were the best ones.
Yeah. So that's number three.
Yep.
What do you got for number four?
Number four. And then I had a tie for the fifth ones in here.
Okay.
Number four was brands acting like people, Nicholas.
Yes. This, like the Hello Fellow Kids.
Hello Fellow Kids. No, so this was actually, I mean, for me, primarily Twitter.
Yeah.
When everybody said, oh man, millennials love it when we act like we're real people.
Hang on. I keep interrupting you, but like anytime a company gets a hold of a meme, you know that it's just done. Like as soon as they started showing Futurama commercials with Fry with his eyes squinty, I was like, all right, got to move on to a new one.
Yeah.
Like even hashtags, it's not even a meme, but I guess technically it is by the definition of meme, but I was like, all right, got to move away from hashtags because corporations got them now.
Yeah, I mean, so this is just like, these are cringe memes, which is a special genre. It's a subgenre.
It's always a cringe meme.
And,
unless it's Wendy's. Like, Wendy's has the best Twitter. And Sonic.
Arby's, I would argue. And I am not into Arby's because they just are all about meat.
Yeah.
But they're super good. And they also, like, did tweets about the Adventure Zone and stuff.
Have you ever seen, like, the Sonic Twitter account?
I think so.
That one's really good, too.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, Arby's Sonic. I feel like it's all run by the same dude. He just, like, switches over. It's gotta be.
It's probably,
but anyway, one of the ones that first caught my eye was... I will just read this paragraph verbatim from Huffington Post.
Please do.
On the 72nd anniversary of Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor Naval Base, one company appears to have miscalculated how it marked the occasion. Late one Friday night, the canned pasta maker SpaghettiOs sent out a tweet featuring its mascot holding an American flag, asking people to take a moment to remember Pearl Harbor with us.
That's awful. God. Are you sure? Oh my God, and he's not even like somber, he's just like, hey guys!
Yeah, he's got his little tongue sticking out.
Yeah.
The sweet live in infamy, said Maria Roa. Take a moment to remember hashtag Pearl Harbor with us.
Yeah, this reminds me of two things. It reminds me of the episode of Community where they legally change a person into Subway so they can have Subway on campus. And it also reminds me of that Little Caesars Tumblr account you always show me.
Yeah.
What is that called?
It's like pictures that make you go, hmm?
No, it's the one with Little Caesars where it's got like...
Oh, Gothic Little Caesars?
Yeah.
Another
yeah.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Little Caesars. Yeah. It's just someone like devastatingly sad in the darkness.
That's what it reminds me of.
Like,
but, like, that's...
like over the top depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then there's other times where they're really trying to relate to us.
Yeah.
And they knew, well, what are millennials into? Depression. So Sunny D tweeted, I can't do this anymore in February. Immediately,
no!
the other Mimi brand accounts got in. And let's see. Pop-Tarts tweeted, hang in there, buddy. Do you remember this? Do you remember the Sunny D? This is this year, actually.
No, I don't.
I can't do this anymore.
No. I don't think I've ever seen that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and underneath that, what's going on, Sunny? Said Moon Pie. Pop-Tarts responded back with, hey, Sunny, can I please offer you a hug? We're going to get through this together, my friend. Buddy, come hang out. Tweeted Corn Nuts. So that was fun. Yeah, and then, I mean, the last two. I mean, the last one, right? I got one left. We're at the fifth.
Yeah, wasn't there another one that you were telling me about before we started recording? It was... Who was it that did something really stupid?
Well, I told you about SpaghettiOs.
No, you didn't tell me about SpaghettiOs. It's someone else.
Oh. I was talking about DiGiorno using the hashtag about domestic violence.
Oh, my God.
DiGiorno read that there was a hashtag trending called Why I Stayed. About like domestic violence,
but they didn't
and
do
sexual
the research
abuse.
To figure out what it was for.
Yeah, so they were why I stayed.
You had pizza,
so there's that.
Idiots.
Yeah, that's before they actually started hiring millennials. I think to run their accounts.
Yeah.
But then I think okay, so the most prevalent, and this is the most impressive to me. I had distracted boyfriend on there for a bit because
there's a lot
of really good stuff came out of that.
Too, yeah.
But I think what really kind of like stood the test of time overall. And is impressive is it's a 20-year-old cartoon is SpongeBob.
Yeah.
That show is old.
And it has all of the memes.
And it has all the relevance to the point where you even in our little group chat texted that they're making meme capitalism, you know.
No, who sent that? Yeah, I don't
was
know
it you or
sent
your
that.
Brother?
It must have been my brother.
Okay.
But
yeah, they're making SpongeBob
the memes,
meme action
making,
figures.
Yeah, action figures of like the...
But just the fact that it stood the test of time for this long is impressive for them to, you know, be able to... I guess they didn't really cultivate that. But if you think about what did we grow up watching when we were younger?
Yeah.
And then how we turn that culture into like expressing ourselves every day as far as dumb stuff goes.
It's such a connecting cartoon that like at work we'll quote it all the time. And none of us have watched it in probably like 10 years. We'll always be like, it's not a boulder. It's a rock. Stuff like that. But it's...
I can't hear I'm ready without hearing Ian and Kenny in my mind.
Yeah. It's a really good show, though.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, and every time it pops up that it's getting canceled, I laugh because it'll never get canceled.
Nah.
Watch.
Speaking of canceled stuff, Adventure Time's getting a couple of extra things coming out soon too.
Yeah?
I think like hour-long specials. Yeah,
good.
Are they that's my favorite show ever.
Exploring the lore of Adventure Time.
I hope so.
I feel like every time I see a deep fried meme, it's either Vault Boy from Fallout or SpongeBob.
Yeah, because they have those gross, like Ren and Stimpy, like extra detailed photos that they would show.
Yeah, there's also a lot of in the early episodes they'd go off model a lot, so you get like the beaked SpongeBob. Like,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, my turn.
Your turn.
Should we talk about alternative medicines?
Yes, sir.
We don't have to spend a lot of time on these because I think we've talked about all but one of them on our show already. So, first one I have here is aromatherapy.
Mm.
Someone in my office today had peppermint essential oils in their aromatherapy machine, and it gave me a horrible headache that is still going on. But what are we at? 8 hours later?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Jesus. It is very Christmassy of them.
Yeah, it is very Christmassy. I mean, like, it just smells like it tastes great, but it gave me a horrible headache. Remember that was the episode that like gave me an existential crisis because lavender can help like go to sleep.
Yeah, I still tell people about that. When everyone's like, "But you guys are biased," right? Like, no, lavender's real.
Yeah, yeah.
It pisses me off, but it's real.
Yeah.
And now I use it in my home.
Really?
I have a little diffuser and I turn it on when I want to get chill.
Very good. We went to
Bed Bugs and Beyond.
No. The other one that I get is Bath and Body Works.
Okay.
And they have like pillow sprays you can get there with essential oils in them.
Wow.
Sounds... I had a lavender one from a long time ago.
Help I wouldn't sleep. Want that in my mouth, though.
Yeah, not a great idea in hindsight. Next, I have homeopathy. Woo!
Ooh, yeah.
This has made a resurgence because in Frozen 2, there's the common refrain that water has memory, which really upsets me.
In Frozen 2?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet. Jeez.
I haven't.
You haven't? Your daughter's seen it twice in the theater.
She has seen it twice in the theater. I refused to see it the first time, and I was at work.
Oh, by the way, I watched Frozen.
You did?
Yeah. I thought about you the whole time.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was fine. You were wrong. It was, like, not bad. It was fine.
So...
It wasn't great, but it wasn't...
Right. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
My opinion is that it is just fine, but it is not nearly as good as everyone says it is, and there are a lot of issues, like, the lyrics of the songs are bad. There are four different plots that it feels like they didn't know where it was going.
Yeah, Horse Boyfriend doesn't really...
All of the jokes are predictable.
Yeah.
There's no villain until the last 5 minutes.
But that little cabin scene was cute, that little guy.
Big Summer Blowout.
Yeah, like him.
We say that at work all the time.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's a good movie.
So homeopathy is stupid.
Yep.
And next we have Himalayan salt lamps, number three.
Can you give an example of homeopathy?
That's like the reason that I put it on this list is because in the last 10 years, it's been around for a long time. Homeopathy is the idea that you like solves like. So if you have a headache, you need to cure it with something that gives you a headache. So if like if peppermint essential oils give you a headache like they give me a headache, you'll take peppermint essential oils, put them in water, dilute it like 1,000 parts per 1.
So there's like nothing left but an atom.
Almost nothing left, but the water will retain the memory of the peppermint and it will get rid of your headache.
I wonder if this came from failed scientific studies, like the way that vaccines work, where it's like a tiny percentile of a virus.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with homeopathy is that it comes from
garbage science.
It comes from like real science, like vaccines, where you hollow out the virus and you inject it in, so your body creates antibodies. It's like that. But now there's just like so many products. If you go to Walmart, you'll find, like, right next to the ibuprofen, you'll find homeopathic
headache
remedies
juice.
for your headaches.
Yeah.
And that's where it's dangerous. These are getting mass produced.
Sneeze sauce.
sneeze sauce. I don't know if we talked about this on the episode.
Bone hurting
like,
juice.
Hey, that's a meme.
Yeah.
like if you are buying a homeopathic medicine, it will say on the side like what it's supposed to contain, but there's been like some of it has like arsenic and stuff in it.
Yeah.
But
well, you gotta
a lot
cut
of
costs.
Like a lot of the times the ratios they have in the box is not what's actually in the product because there's no regulation on it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't go through the FDA. So they can just put whatever the hell they want on there.
America.
And it might not actually be true. Love America.
Mm-hmm.
That's homeopathic medicine.
There we go.
And that's
Thank
why
you.
I'm pissed off about it.
Yep, we did a whole episode on it. Go listen
yes,
to
we
it.
Did. And we also did an episode on Himalayan salt lamps.
We have a search bar on our site?
We do. Yes.
Okay. We'll search it. I don't know if we do. We have an episode list though. You can search
there. We have a search bar.
Do we?
Or you can just type in Stranger Still and then homeo.
We're going to do it. Let's do a 2020 site revamp. Now that I'm at GoDaddy. I got some ideas.
What do you think about Himalayan salt lamps? Give me your ideas on that.
Delicious. Good over pasta.
Uh-huh.
Terrible for belief in healing.
I just think it's...
Pretty?
It uses big words like... ionizing
Himalayan.
Air molecules, Himalayan. it borders on scientific. It's just they try to use big words like ionize and purifying and all these words that don't actually quantify this. Like where do you take the logical leap that this thing sitting on your desk is going to purify the air when there's no airflow coming to or from it?
You're an idiot, Nick. I thought you did research. It's obvious. It's from the cave people. Okay.
Oh, from the cave Himalayans.
Yeah, and the one cave woman said to the other cave woman, "Where's your husband?" And she said, "Himalayan." And he was laying down.
Oh, what's that have to do with healing?
I don't know, dude. I don't write the jokes. I just say them.
You say them. Next I have, number four, is cryotherapy. Mm. We didn't talk about this.
Cry me a river.
But it's really recent where I want to talk about it.
Okay. Let's do a whole show on it.
On cryotherapy.
But freezing our bones off.
Yeah. So it pops up like
in
all
LA.
These rejuvenate places.
Yeah.
That you'll walk into these like freeze tanks, basically you stand up in them, but I assume they fill it with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And they just like chill you down. They'll either chill your whole body or they'll do spot treatment. So like, oh, my arm's hurting. Well, just we'll freeze it to like negative 100 degrees or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to help you. And I think the idea is like it'll kick your body into overdrive to help heal itself or warm itself up or yeah. kick your
like when you're about to freeze to death, you feel a burst of warmth.
Yeah,
someone heard that once and then invented this
exactly.
and made millions
that's
of dollars.
That's probably exactly what it was. We'll find out when we do our episode. Do you want to guess what my last one is?
You'll
never guess it.
For alternative medicines.
Yeah. This wasn't going to be my number five, but it kept coming up over and over when I was looking for alternative medicines. I didn't realize like so many people did this, and it's Reiki, which we talked about, right?
I talked to a couple of people that had Reiki websites recently too, and I have to help them legally.
Like this, it's so bizarre to me that in the year of our Lord, or not, if you don't believe in that, 2019, that people still believe in this magical wizard hand voodoo. That's derogatory. We did an episode on voodoo. This magical hand juju. That's probably derogatory,
that's
too.
Too. Yeah, we gotta try.
This Harry Potter crap.
Thank you.
That people are just like, yeah, I got magical hands now. I'm gonna cure your chi. This isn't Dragon Ball, okay? You can't just like manipulate chi and energy to blast Frieza off the martial arts stage.
Wow, that's pretty cool. We should make a website called Dragon Ball Chi, though. and have Dragon Ball Z styled Reiki moves.
Can we? Oh, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. But what about Dragon Ball Chi, where it's Dragon Ball characters made out of cheese?
Oh, I can't eat that.
It's vegan cheese.
Oh,
Reiki makes me mad. I almost ruined Easter over Reiki.
Yeah, I remember you were talking.
Yeah,
about.
We talked about that. What do you got over there?
I have the top five technical flops, starting with MoviePass 2011 to 2019, almost the entire
2011
decade. Yes, it did.
Wow. Okay.
It almost seemed too good to be true because it was. You would pay $10 a month, and then you would see as many movies as you want. And millions of people signed up, and it didn't work. And then they gave everybody one day notice when they shut it down.
Yeah. That. So the idea behind that was like every other service where you get a bunch of people paying into it and then some people don't use it, like gym memberships or other like magazine subscriptions.
It made
or whatever.
Sense in theory.
Yeah,
well, people
but
are paying
then
for
everyone
Netflix
used
and Hulu.
It. Yeah. Everyone was like, yeah, I'm going to use it. I'm getting like 90% off movies.
Yeah.
Some good things did come out of it though, like the AMC movie pass and stuff.
Yeah, it moved into other companies. I had all that listed here too.
What are some other ones? Like, does Alamo Drafthouse do one maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah, other companies started filing suit and doing the same thing. But I have a little paragraph at the end that said, in September 2019, the service shut down, but not before a massive data breach of customers' credit card info.
Oh, great. Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Good job, guys. That's so bad. So here's the problem with that is, like, theaters only make money off concessions. They make a very small amount off of ticket sales because they negotiate it with movie companies, and instead of going to the theaters and be like, hey, we're gonna drive business, because like that's what Fandango does.
Yeah, people don't have an understanding of a lot of industries that work like this.
Yeah,
the same way with when you're a musician.
Yeah,
you sell merch, that's how you make your money.
Exactly.
You'll make money off
or you tour
and touring. You don't make any money off album sales.
Exactly.
I talked to a dude starting a website the other day that was like, oh man, you're only gonna be able to listen if you buy my album first. Okay.
Okay, bud. That's awful. But like what they tried to do, so Fandango gets they've talked to the movie theaters and said, hey, we're driving business to your place, give us a cut of your money. And they do. What MoviePass did was they're like, you guys owe us money. We're driving business to you guys. You owe us money. And all the movie theaters were like, nope.
Yeah.
We're just not going to allow your services because screw you.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, guess we're gonna fold, friends. Here's some credit card information.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
Oh boy. I'm gonna go with next on my list, Juicero, because it's pretty low on the list, but it was funny.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew what this was, so I'm just gonna read verbatim what this said.
Mm-hmm.
More of a hoax than a business failure. Juicero is one of the best examples of how investors can get temporarily sideblinded money.
Wait. Is this the thing where you take one drop of blood and it would tell you all your medical?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. What is this?
This is so Keurigs were popular, right? This is in 2017. Yeah. And Bloomberg called their bluff by coming out with an article. So what you do is you buy a juice pouch.
Okay.
Right? And then you would put it into your juice pressing machine.
Oh, juice.
And it would squeeze juice through the Juicero machine into a cup for you.
Okay.
It didn't squeeze vegetables. Or, I mean, it didn't squeeze fruit.
Yeah.
It was prepackaged juice.
Yeah.
That it would squeeze fresh into a glass.
Okay.
And Bloomberg had an article where the $400 machine they set aside and with their bare hands squeezed the juice out of the packet into a glass. And it failed miserably after that and never sold.
That's awful. That's pretty good.
The company went out of business 5 months later.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
Yep. Okay, so these orders here, they go in order of silly, hopeful, and then heartbreaking at the end. Okay,
yeah, I'm ready for you.
Silly, Google Plus.
Oh my God, was that in the last 10 years?
In the last 10 years.
When was that?
2011. A lot of these are 2011. That was a big year.
That was a bad year.
Yeah. So 2011, Google Plus existed, and they said, hey, everyone's got Gmail. Let's force them to sign up, just like we put U2 on everybody's iPods with Apple.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a Google Plus account now.
Yeah. And then they forced you to sign up to log into YouTube.
Yeah.
Right?
To make it more relevant, Google automatically added all of its Gmail account holders, but its appeal remained obscure, adding no value to users who already had functioning Facebook or Twitter accounts.
Yeah. That's like, there's so many companies out there. Microsoft does this all the time where they'll be like, we're going to be the next iPod killer. But they're like 6 years too late, my friends.
Yeah.
And they come out with the Zoom and everyone's like, we already have iPods, my friend. We already bought all of the music on iTunes. We're not going to move over to the Zune.
Yeah.
The only person that has one is Peter Quill.
And hipsters. And
hipsters. Oh, absolutely hipsters.
Yeah. Record playing Zunes. Okay, then this one, so that was a silly, this is the hopeful.
Okay.
Is Google Glass.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of wish that worked because
that
it's cool.
That was one thing that was like ahead of its time. And it was like wearable tech wasn't practical at the time. And some of it still isn't.
That was 2013. They were trying to get AR up and running. It still kind of shocks me that we're not there yet. Because it feels like we should have wearable tech.
But we are.
Like that. That's but we don't have, like, no one's walking around with their Oculus Rift on yet. You know?
True. But that requires a lot of power.
Not only that, but I listened to really cool stuff you should know about AR.
Yeah.
About contacts they're working on.
Yeah.
But how scary it's going to be with privacy.
Yeah.
Because people are going to have like filters that make it look like you're naked and stuff.
Yeah. Deep fakes.
Or just like scan your face and get your credit card info and all that.
Yeah. That one is unfortunate. That one
but
flopped.
I could see it's going to have a comeback.
Yeah.
I am confident in that. And then finally, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Probably the best technology on this. I mean, I added it on this list because I kind of missed the bus on it and I feel left out instead of many others.
Yeah.
But that was Vine. All right.
Wow. That's number one.
That was 2012.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Now we're stuck with TikTok. Great.
Yeah. And Instagram and Twitter and
nothing
Snapchat.
Was Vine.
And...
There's how many times you go and watch. How many times have you gone on another social media platform and searched Twitter compilations? No, you search Vine compilations. And
well,
that's
TikTok compilations.
Again, this is like when I was young, I used to get really into like nostalgic for Super Nintendo games. But I didn't have a Super Nintendo. I would play ROMs.
Yeah.
And I'm nostalgic for like my 20 years late ROMs that I used to play.
Yeah.
It's the same with Vine.
Yeah.
I'm nostalgic for just watching it after it left already.
Yeah.
I think I did have an account for like a minute, but I don't remember posting anything serious.
I just want to be the hipster here and say that I remember when that was announced and I was like, there's no way this is sticking around. And then it stuck around for longer than I thought. I was like, crap, I was wrong. And then it died and I was like, ha-ha, validation.
Oh, you little bastard. Yeah, it was 2012 to 2017.
Yeah.
It was shut down in 2016, actually. And he said he would launch a 2.0, but
it was too late.
There was financial hurdles at that point.
Well, he was... So when it launched, like many things, they're just like, here's this thing. And then companies get their greasy little hands on it. And like, how can we squeeze all the money out of this that we can?
How it always
and
goes.
There was no method of advertising. There's no way to make money off of it. And like Instagram and Snapchat, and I don't go on TikTok, so I don't know if they got it figured out. But they got it figured out like right away.
TikTok's owned by like Chinese corporations that ban protesting and stuff, so that's a whole nother problem.
Yeah.
But I want to give a shout out to see. First, I want to see if this is still real.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about this because, oh boy, yeah, I think it's still here. 5secondfilms.com.
Are they still making stuff?
Do you remember when they did? This is before Vine.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is what I was
YouTube.
Nostalgic for. They were so good. Yeah, yeah. The site's still up. So you could just watch like 80 of them in a row.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So they kind of took that format into Vine. But that's my list. Don't wear it out.
Well, inversely, should we talk about the best technological advances in the last 2 years.
Yeah, look at this little Power Hour special we did. We're coming up on 60 Men.
I know. I'm really tired.
That's my impression of 60
like
Minutes, the TV
something
show.
Something really sloppy.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's still on.
Okay.
Not only do I remember it, I still know it.
What?
So I've got five technological advances in the last 10 years, and some of these I was kind of wishy-washy on because it feels like we've kind of got all of the practical inventions out of the way, and now we're just kind of left with, well, this is cool. But like, and I feel like a lot of these, we're finally starting to use them. Like these things have been around for a long time, but we're just now.
I'm gonna let you know if any of the things that show up on your list showed up on mine as a failure.
Well,
because a lot of my stuff in here, we're ahead of the other time, and they're still being worked on.
Yeah, I have Google Glass on my list.
Yeah.
But my first one that I have here, my phone's thinking I'm talking to it because I said Google. Okay, I didn't do it again. The first one I have here is just general advancements in cars. For instance, self-driving cars, which I think people are afraid of this, but I am so on board for that. The less human decision makers we have on the road, the better.
Yeah.
And like me and my brothers talked about this for a long time when we were on a road trip, like having semi self-driving would be like, I know that would put a lot of people out of work, but that lifestyle is not healthy for the people that like drive commercially.
Yeah.
They have long hours. They're sitting for forever. They don't eat healthily usually because they're on the road.
Yeah.
Like, and it would drive costs down, which is always amazing. It would get like the people behind the wheel of those big lumbering machines off the road. Ride sharing was another thing that I put on here, which again, it feels like, well, this is neat.
I got that as a tech flop.
Why?
Uber and Lyft were not going to make profit until 2021.
Yes.
And also they're horrible companies that take
advantage
of people.
They are horrible companies that it's capitalism, right? Like I am split on the whole like taking advantage of people because that's just capitalism. And it happens wherever you turn your eyes. It's just more visible with ride sharing. And the older I get, the more I hate capitalism.
Yeah.
This is along the same lines as self-driving cars, where we're just getting more cars off the road. And that's, I think, more important to keeping people safe.
Yeah, and climate change.
And climate change, absolutely. Speaking of climate change, electric cars.
Hey.
I want one so
bad. Is
this
before, or is this in the same thing for driving?
This is advancements in cars.
Okay.
So Tesla actually started working on like practical commercial electric cars in 2004. Yeah. Roadsters were available in 2008, but they made Roadsters from 2008 to 2012 and only sold like 2,000 in those 4 years. In the last 10 years, they've sold just short of a million vehicles, over 800,000.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wish there were more charging stations around. Yeah. Like at work,
there's a surprising amount in like a small city like Cedar Rapids.
Really?
Yeah.
There's one at work at GoDaddy.
Yeah.
If you have an electric car, you could just charge your car for free all day.
Yeah.
So you just never pay for gas again.
But like, not only is Tesla selling almost a million vehicles in 10 years, it's also prompted a bunch of other vehicle manufacturers to be like, well, this is what people want. So then we have like the Volt, I think it's Dodge.
Nissan. Oh, Nissan Leaf.
Yeah.
Dodge Volt.
They're trying to make trucks. But I think like Toyota was like, we're going all electric by 20 something something.
Yeah.
Which is important. I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
This is this airing in 2020?
It is.
Okay. So President Bernie Sanders probably already talked about
it. It's not that far ahead.
Oh, okay.
Number two, this is another one that like, oh, that's neat, but it actually is kind of a technological feat. And that's the Curiosity Mars rover, which launched in 2011. It's done a lot of cool things. It's taken a lot of photos. It found.
It made me sad that I know that it's since happy birthday to Tesla.
It's really sad. Like, that was a huge feat of engineering.
I did that once too when I was really emo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was there. But like, it's taken a lot of samples. It's outlived its expected life expectancy.
Wow.
Like the solar panels have let it go for a really long time. They thought it was gonna last like 2 years or something like that. Found evidence of like ancient glacial movements, which is evidence of water on Mars. All kinds of amazing stuff on Mars. So it's not something that we can like use practically unless we're gonna go live out there, but I think that's pretty neat.
Number three.
Yeah. What a transition.
CRISPR gene editing.
Hey!
We talked about this.
Yeah, dog intestines for brains. That's all I think about because you said that in our episode and it was disgusting.
Oh my god, that's awful. I take it back. So CRISPR gene editing goes as far back as the 90s. People have been researching it for a really long time. But in, I think it was like 2012 or 2014.
We turned our first pair of human teeth into chitlets.
No. We did some CRISPR editing on like goats and animals and stuff, but then 2013.
Animals? Is it animals. like nano-sized animals?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like
yeah,
tiny
yeah,
animals?
Yeah. Okay. It's the next blind toy packaging craze. It's going to sweep the nation.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Like, nerd. You know how you're like the Shopkins and the LOL surprise? You
what
get the
dad.
Little balls and you don't know what's in them. You got to open them.
Does anybody know he's talking about?
So in 2013, we finally edited some human cells, just like in a Petri dish. And then last year, 2018, we talked about Jian Kui, who claimed to have genetically modified two twin girls. And he was recently put in jail for unethically sourcing his participants of his experiments.
So he did?
Supposedly.
Okay.
So he also supposedly had a third child that he modified.
So he just got like some orphans?
So he was looking for, I believe it was a father that had HIV or AIDS and a mother who did not, to see if he could modify the DNA so that the mother wouldn't get HIV or the kids couldn't get HIV. So he didn't disclose like the risks to the parents, like the success rate. They said it's very successful. These kids are going to be really healthy, blah, 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 which there's a lot of risks involved and they didn't disclose those. I believe that was the main thing, but he's also been missing for like an entire year. No one knows where he's been. And no one knows who or where these twins or the third child is.
Oh.
So it's really suspicious.
Okay. Yikes.
So I thought the timing on that was really funny. Cause as I was researching this, one of my coworkers was talking about this and I was like, wait, that sounds really familiar. Send me the article. And it was the guy we've talked about. So number four. This is related to you. I put on virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yeah, like that.
Because like we had like the 3DS, it had some AR capabilities. We've had cell phones recently that have AR capabilities.
Does it ever disappoint you that like technology is not further than it should
Kinda.
Be?
Kinda. I wish we had holograms.
Not only that, but just like seeing how clunky AR is right now sometimes makes me feel like, what are we doing?
So we started off in a really bad way with Google Glass. Like it was trying to be practical, but it wasn't very practical. It was just intrusive and hard to use, and it was expensive. But now we have like the Oculus that Facebook bought out, and you just plug it into your computer and you go. The problem is that takes a lot of processing power.
Yeah.
So you have to have a really good PC to do it. But we've made a lot, like, this is something where it's finally becoming practical. It hasn't been practical for a really long time, but now on your phones, you can have a conversation with someone that doesn't speak the same language because your phone will translate it back and forth. Or you can read a menu in a foreign country that you don't speak the language of.
Mm-hmm. Or you could do surgery and have like little labels like "cut here, bro."
Yeah, yeah. you can like do surgery training with VR goggles, mm-hmm. or you can like
smooch someone.
Smooch someone.
Yeah, pretty
That's
cool.
Not where I was gonna go with that.
Pretty
too.
Cool.
So I think it's on the verge of becoming practical, and it's more and more accessible, which is important. And then the last one I have here is kind of not really entwined, but do you want to take a guess?
The top technical advance at the top of the list.
Yes.
Can I have a clue?
No.
Okay, I don't have any idea.
Well, it's tough. My number one was neural networking or AI or machine learning.
Yeah, okay.
Because the idea has been around since like the 40s. Someone's like, what if we had something that we had like a recursive feedback loop and we taught it to
teach
function
itself.
Better? Yeah. And people started making like neural networks in the 2000s. But by the end of the 2000s, we could basically train a neural network to identify a 3D shape like a cat. And that's as advanced as it would go. And now we can use them for everything.
Yeah.
Like not just like, we can make them write dumb stories. We can feed it every episode of Friends and have it write an episode of Friends. But we can also, like, I think I've talked about this before. I will go down so many rabbit holes of people, like, teaching a bot how to, like, walk. and they show all of the different iterations of
you sent me down a YouTube rabbit hole once where I watched AI learn how to solve problems and puzzles.
Or like how to jump or how to I don't know, all like that's really interesting. It's kind of frightening because then like someday we'll just be in a simulation, not know it. We should do an episode on that. But we also use it for, like I said, translations. Like that's a really important one because like Babelfish ain't cutting it no more. But like Google is pretty good because they have a lot of data to pull from here. I mean, we can also use it. We use it for advertising, which some people don't like. I personally do because I'm sick and tired of seeing ads for Pete Buttigieg when I'm watching
Hulu. Oh my God.
Not to get political.
You're talking to the right person. No,
I don't like political ads in general. But like, if it were using a neural network, I would be seeing ads for Spider-Man comics or something instead. Yeah. Which personally, I would like because as much as ads suck,
just gave you a thumbs up. Weird. Yeah.
As much as I hate advertising, it's part of human nature.
Did you have a thumb before that?
No, it just came out of this charging port.
Okay.
Like, we have to have ads to pay for things. I would rather use those ads to learn about something that I didn't know existed. And even if I know that it existed, at least they tried to get it out in front of me. Like, hey, did you know that J.J. Abrams is coming out with a new... this happened 3 months ago. A new Spider-Man storyline. It's just a 6-part story. And did you know about this? And I'm like, oh my God, no. Thank you for showing me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I want in advertising.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the 5% of good times that happens.
That's so true. The other 95% is just wish trying to sell me some
underwear
sort of,
and
yeah,
wish
exactly.
And weird like yo-yo lights that I could put on my weenus.
But these like neural weenus networks
are... This is this part of your elbow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like now we're also using it for teaching robots how to walk over difficult terrain. We're using it for, we talked about like identifying endangered species and their habits so we can
And weren't we going to try to make a neural network? We're going to feed it our shows and make it write episode for us one day?
That'd be horrifying.
I want to hear it.
All right. You got to transcribe all of our episodes. That's all I got for technological advances. If you agree or disagree with any of these, feel
wrong.
Free to email us.
No.
You can email us at podcast@strangerstillshow.com. You're also wrong. I don't even want to take a break. We've been going for such a long time that I just want to say welcome to 2020. We have brought you into the new decade. I'm glad we've made it this far. It was pretty touch and go there for a second. I thought we might have World War III on our hands started over Twitter, but... We didn't, and we're here. And what else do you have to say? Cut me off.
I don't know. We're not gonna last too much longer.
That's true. what's your hopes for 2020 besides political stuff?
Besides political stuff, I mean that's just gonna go into personal stuff, and that's who cares, you know?
Yeah, I want to read more comics. That's my hopes.
Yeah, well,
I'm almost caught up on Dragon
good
Ball.
At it. I don't know. I mean, I guess I want to just keep writing music and stuff. I've got this dope laptop.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Make some jingles.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to revamp my site and our site.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
That's a good goal. That's much more noble than my goal.
No, because I want more subscribers.
Yeah, but I want to read more comics. Okay. So those are two very different goals that we have there. So.
Mm. Really says something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you got anything else?
That's it.
Well, I'm still Nick.
I'm still Jonathan.
And this is Strangers.
You like that?
Yeah.
I said my full name.
Because you're the mature.
I'm mature now.
We've
matured. I grew up a little bit. Grow up, yeah. Nick.
Still this Jonathan. Is Strangers still.